I'm going to read some more verses, and I'm going to deal tonight with that call, the call. Remember the vision that he saw, the vow that he made, but the voice that he heard. God spoke to Isaiah. God called Isaiah. And I'm glad in 2021 that God is still speaking. God is still calling. A man said to me the other day, he said, I don't think the Lord is calling. The Lord is calling as many people to preach as he used to. And I said, oh no, my brother. Oh no, my brother. God is still calling. We don't have as many people listening. Don't ever point an accusing finger, and I'm not condescending to you, but don't ever point an accusing finger and say, Lord, this world's going to hell because of you. Oh, no. People won't go to heaven because of you, God. Don't ever accuse the Lord. Honey, he sent his son. He gave his all. He inspired the Bible. He opened the door. And God is still calling. It's up to you and I to hear the call. Respond to the call. And I'm glad God is still calling. In fact, the Bible begins in Genesis with God calling. And ends in Revelation with God calling. God called to Adam and said, where art thou? In fact, even before that, six times it said, God called at day, God called at night. God's been calling since Genesis. And then he ends in Revelation, calling the church, come up hither. And he closes out the book with the call, whosoever will. I believe that's what it says. Let them come and take of the water of life freely. So God begins the Bible with a call. God ends the Bible with a call. I'm glad God is still calling. It is a high calling. It is a holy calling. It is a heavenly calling. I believe God calls to salvation. I believe God calls to service. God calls to surrender. God calls to the Spirit-filled life. God is still calling. He is calling you and I to serve him and live for him. God is still initiating the call. That's what we have in Isaiah chapter 6. Look at it again in verse number 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here. Boy, did you like that this morning? Here am I, send me. Now, to support that, I want you to come to the New Testament, if you will. And I want you to come to Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 2. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul, for the work whereunto, say this last line, I have called them. The Holy Ghost said that in the heart of those men to do the work that I have called them to do. Now, to support that, I want you to come to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 9. Acts chapter 16, verse number 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, Well, that word literally means called out to him, saying, what did he say? Come over into Macedonia and help us. If you've ever heard a missions preacher preach, or you've ever been to an emphasis where missions, they call that the Macedonian call, the Macedonian call, where that man said to Paul, come over and help us. Look at verse number 10 in your Bible. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord, finish it now, had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now to support that, I want you to come back to the gospel of Luke. I want you to come to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16, and look at verse 27 and verse number 28. Chapter 16 of Luke, verse 27 and 28. It says in Luke 16, 27, this is the rich man calling out to Father Abraham from the pits and the burning walls of hell. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest, said with me, send him, speaking of Lazarus, to my father's house. Why did he want Lazarus to go to his father's house? Verse 28, for I have five brethren. He had five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of what? Place of torment. So tonight in your hearing, I have read four different passages of Scripture that demonstrate what I call the call. The call to serve the Lord. The call to be a witness. The call to be a light. The call to be a voice, the call to be a soul winner. I read this quote by an unknown author. Nobody knows who started this quote, but it spoke volumes to me. It said, if you want to touch the past, just touch a rock. If you want to touch the present, just touch a blooming flower. But if you want to touch the future, touch a life. Now let that sink into you. A rock stands for the past and the things that will never change. A little blooming flower is here just for a moment, but it will soon fade and decay. Oh, but a person's life, oh my, that will reach another person, and that person reach another person, and that person reach another person. That's touching the future and making a difference. I thank God for our past. I thank God for our present. But I want our church, listen to this, as long as the Lord stays his coming to make a mark on the future. I can't change the past. And I can't always change the present. But I promise you tonight, if we get a bunch of sinners saved and a bunch of young people surrendering to serve the Lord, that'll change the future. That'll change the future. And so God has called all of us to serve him, to be a voice, to be a light, to be a witness, to be a soul, to touch the lives of someone. And when you put this together, I've entitled it, Four Powerful Voices That Calls You and I to Service. Four powerful voices that calls you and I to Christian service. Let's look at them tonight. Call number one, Isaiah 6. I want to say it like this. There is a call from above. There is a call from above. Ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you, there is a call coming from God's throne tonight that he wants you and he wants me, and he needs you, and he needs me. That he has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for my life. God tonight calls from above, from his throne, to harness up to his will, take his word in the power of his Holy Spirit, and show the world that God is interested, that God cares, and that God loves, and that God is able. And he didn't used to be the answer. He's still the answer. And never before in the history of our nation has God needed many, many voices from the church of the living God to stand in somebody's hour of need and proclaim with assurance and authority that Jesus Christ is right for what is wrong in their life. There is a call from above. God is beseeching us. God is calling us. God is pleading with us. God is encouraging us. God is prodding us. God is inspiring us. Yea, God is even commanding us to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And aren't you glad tonight that in your lost world, when you was a sinner, lost without God, headed to a devil's hell, some saint of God, some singer of God, some witness of God, some servant of God, some soul winner of God, some voice from God, some man of God, some preacher of God, stood in the dark hour of your life and said, if you're tired of sin and tired of the condemnation of sin and tired of the guilt of sin, come to Jesus, look to Jesus, trust Jesus, and God did a supernatural work in your life. Can't you hear tonight the call from above? If you love me, feed my sheep. Go to the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Someone said, Brother Joe, give me one good reason why we ought to be servants of the Lord and witnesses for Christ and lights for God. Because there's a voice from the throne of God who loves us, who cares for us, who saved us, who deserves our best. And the call from above encourages us to be a servant of the Lord. The preacher's not calling you tonight. The Baptist church is not calling you tonight. The brethren's not calling you tonight. There's a call from above to serve him and honor him and fulfill our commitment in this word. So there is the call from above. Secondly, I want you to come to Acts 13, where it said the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, spoke to Barnabas and Paul to launch out and do the work that he had called them. So I believe tonight I could safely say there's the call from above. Oh, but number two, there is a call from within. There is a call from within. Now, by the time you get to Acts 13, the day of Pentecost had fully come. So where, hallelujah, since Pentecost, where does the Spirit of God live and reside? In you and in me. Oh, aren't you glad since we trusted the Lord? I got somebody in me He lives in me. My body, 1 Corinthians 3, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What is a temple? It is a tabernacle. It is a dwelling place. You know where God dwells on earth? Now, God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. But you know the Bible specifically said that he took up his abode in the believer. Well, glory. That's what Jesus meant in John 7 when he used the analogy of the river. Remember in John 7, the Bible said, and Jesus stood at the day of the great feast. What was that great feast? Well, they were celebrating the day when Moses smote the rock, and out of the rock came billows of running water. Well, they're celebrating it. They're feasting it. And by the way, God's people not only like singing, God's people not only like preaching, God's people not only like fellowship, but according to the Bible, God's people like eating. Feasting. They would do something, God would do something great, and they would feast about it. And they're having the feast that celebrated water coming out of the rock. So everybody there that day had water on their mind. Water out of a rock on their mind. Water out of a smitten rock on their mind. And Jesus took advantage of the occasion. And he stood and he cried and he said in John 7, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. I told you water out of a rock. He is the rock of ages. I told you water out of a smitten rock. He was smitten on a cruel cross. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And Jesus said, and out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow. Not a cup, not a well, but rivers, plural, rivers of living water. Now, how many believe tonight the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible? And the very next verse is the commentary on that verse. And it said, and thus he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they should receive that believe on him. That's what makes the woman at the well such an attractive passage. She went to the well with an empty bucket and left her empty bucket and went home with the river in her soul. Oh, I am glad tonight that he is the God above me. I'm glad tonight he is the God beneath me. I'm glad tonight that he is the God before me. I'm glad he is the God behind me. I'm glad he is the God beside me. I'm glad he is the God on me, for me, through me, and with me. But the greatest of all is that he is the God that is in me. Christ in you, the Spirit of God in you, God the Father in you. Hey, I'm glad I've got somebody living in me. You know what I love about Christianity? Well, I love Jesus. But one of my favorite parts about it, and I use this word religion in a very loose term, but you know what I'm talking about. Christianity is the only religion that I know of that when you go to the worship house to worship your God, he goes home with you. We didn't come in here this morning and bow to a statue and go home by ourselves. We didn't come in here today and bow down to some bald-headed, pot-bellied. Lord have mercy, I just described your preacher. And some other people that are here. But we didn't come in this room today, Brother Berrios, and you didn't go to the gym this morning to bow down in front of a statue and go home by yourself. No, we went into God's house. We brought him with us. And he was here when we got here. And he went home with us when we left here. He rode back with us again tonight. He's here again tonight. And in just a few moments, we're going to leave here and walk out of here. And He's going with us. And He'll get up in the morning with us. And He'll go to work with us. He'll come home with us. He'll go to bed with us. He'll stay with us, watch over us, and be again with us in the morning. I'm glad He's above, beneath, before, behind, beside, for, through, with. But aren't you glad He is in? And because He is in there, He'll talk to you. He'll prod you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He will teach you. He will bring all things to your remembrance. And some good preacher said, where's the voice? Where's the voice? Oh yeah, there is a voice from above, from the throne of God. But hear me tonight, if you're saved and in the will of God and walking with Jesus and living close to the cross, there's a call from within. There's a call from inside of you. The wheels are turning. The light is shining. The fire is burning. Something in you drives you like a madman to serve the Lord. Well, I'm glad I got that in me tonight. I'm glad I've got that power in me. I'm glad I've got that leadership in me. I'm glad I've got that presence in me. If you want to be embarrassed in public, ask a kid a question. Or ask them to do something in front of others they have done 12 times previously. And they will do it. I found this out today, Brother Joe, talking to your mother-in-law. You and Macy came over to the wedding yesterday and she kept your two children because they had the sniffles. Your little girl by the name of McKenna, she said you ought to try to give that one medicine. She fought it and fought it and fought it. An apple don't fall too far from the tree. And I ain't talking about Macy. Your mother-in-law, Miss Janny said, Brother Joe, I finally got through there and got some in her mouth and said she made, and I love this term, she made the most awful face and went, I'm better now, I'm better now, I'm better now. How many remember Mrs. Yancey that taught all these little Bible schools back in the 70s and 80s in Atlanta. And her son is Philip Yancey, the famous writer, but a lot of you remember Miss Yancey. She got a burden for the little boys and girls that lived in the projects, and she'd go every Sunday afternoon, and she'd find a little building somewhere, and she'd have Sunday school, teach them the Word of God. And she got so burdened about the curse of alcohol and what it had done to families and lives, that she got a series of lessons and was teaching the kids on the evil of drinking alcohol. I know some adults that need to hear some of that. By the way, just in case you've come across our website, this is not a social drinking Baptist church. It's all rot gut liquor and it's out of the pits of hell. I thought I'd just throw that in. So one day she thought, I've got to get this message across to these kids. So on her way, she stopped by the fish and bait store and got her a thing of earthworms. She went by the drug store and got her a bottle of rubbing alcohol. Got to that little building and got her a glass of water. And she said, children, watch this. And she took those crawly night crawlers, them old worms, dropped them down in that water, and they just kind of floated, you know, kind of went around. She dropped them worms, Brother Gus, in that glass of alcohol, and about 5 or 10 seconds, they were gone. She said with tears running down her face, students, oh God, students, what does this teach you? And a little girl raised her hand and said, "Miss Shantz, it teaches me if you got worms, just drink a lot of alcohol." It didn't work. I read the other day where this Sunday school teacher was teaching a 9-year-old class about Christ in you, the hope of glory, and how God is in us and the Holy Ghost is in us. And this little girl, Susie, raised her hand, and the teacher said, "Susie, what is it?" She said to the teacher, "I don't get it. I don't understand." She said, "What don't you understand, darling?" She said, "If God is so big and I'm so little, if that big old God lives in little old me, ain't he gonna stick out somewhere? Aren't you glad we've got somebody in us? A presence in us, an anointing in us, a residence in us, a person in us, a voice in us, a prayer partner in us, a convictor in us, a guide in us, a Lord in us. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and there is a voice calling us to serve the Lord. It's a voice from within. The Spirit of God is speaking. The Spirit of God is prodding. The Spirit of God is moving. I got something in me that I cannot deny. That voice from within calls me to be a servant of the great God of glory. You say, "Preacher, is God calling me?" Get in a quiet place. Shut the world out. Shut the cares of life out. Get in a quiet place. Start just reading your Bible. And in a quiet place, meditate on the Lord. And Sunday won't be long. Oh my. Someone said, "Has God ever spoken to you in an audible voice?" Louder than that. In the chambers and the echoes of my soul. There was a famous preacher in the 60s and 70s, and his name was Joe Parson. He pastored in Anderson, South Carolina for a while, but most of his ministry was traveling around preaching the gospel and teaching on the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled life and the camp meetings back in the glory days. And somebody asked Joe Parson, said, "How do you get in the attitude of prayer? How do you get into the presence of God where you talk to the Lord?" And Brother Tom, this was his answer. He said, "Well, I just get in a quiet place. And I shut the world out, and I shut the cares of the world out. And I just get in a little quiet place. And I wait before God." He said, "And then in a few moments, that little lamb in me goes to bleeding out. That little lamb in me begins to cry out." And he said, "And as that little lamb in me begins to cry out, it ain't long till the good shepherd comes by to see what it wants." If I want some water from this morning, I'd take me a lap right there. But aren't you glad in a world full of confusion, in a world full of chaos, and we've been pulled here and been pulled there. Whoo! There's a little lamb that lives on the inside. And when he cries out, "Abba, Father," it's not long till the good shepherd comes by. I'm glad there's a voice within. There's a voice within. The Holy Ghost is telling me to preach. The Holy Ghost is telling me to be a soul winner. The Holy Ghost is telling me to be a witness. The Holy Ghost is leading and guiding and prodding us to be servants of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot deny that fire that burns in my heart, that will that turns in my soul. Praise God, there is a voice, a call from within. There's a call from above. Quickly, come to Acts chapter number 16, where Paul had this vision. What I told you a while ago was the Macedonian call. Up to this time, Paul's ministry had been in a particular region Oh, but across the boundary, across the border, across the race line, across the culture line, across the religious line, there stood a man. And even though it was in a vision that Paul saw and heard, I believe it was a real live human being. And Paul said, I heard that man cry to me and my friends and my companions, come over, come over, come over to Macedonia. Cross the racial barrier. Cross the religious barrier. Cross the culture barrier. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. And Paul heard that call, and he responded to that call, and he swallowed his pride and his racial prejudice and the culture barrier, and he went to Macedonia and he preached the gospel. And the reason why there are churches in Europe and churches in America, it's because the man of God responded to the Macedonian call. So there is a call from above. There is a call from within. Number three, there's a call from abroad. There's a call from without. I'm so thankful that for 37 years, God has allowed me to pastor a group of people that could see past the bridge of their nose. From day one. Now, a lot of Baptists fall out with me here, but they'll get over it. They can go to the phone booth and dial 911. But there's what I call kingdom vision. Kingdom vision. A lot of preachers and a lot of churches will only help, support, or do something that they can see now, right in front of their eyes, living proof, and it helps them and their church. And by the way, I believe we ought to help a church. I believe we ought to help ourselves. I believe we ought to see God do something. But if the only service we render, if the only money we give, if the only ministries that we get involved in is what we can see the results of in the next 5 minutes, that's not kingdom vision. Brother, I want to see more than, you know, I can't save four walls. We're going to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm glad we can see beyond the seven walls of this building. We can see beyond the bank account. We can see beyond the building fund. The world is our mission field. Wherever the human heart beats and races human blood, they need a God. They need a Savior. They need the gospel. And I'm so thankful that you can see more than just inside these seven walls. God has given our church kingdom vision. The world is our mission field. And I know, they'll say, well, it starts at Jerusalem. Yep, I'll agree. But he don't end there. Oh, the world needs the gospel. There is a call from abroad. Brother Jeff just got back from helping missionaries build buildings. God bless you, Brother Jeff. There's a call. Come over and help us. Brother McEver just got back from the Indian reservation holding tent meetings out there. That was a call that said, come over and help us. Miss Janet, your grandson's one of the greatest missionaries in the 20th century. I really believe that. And for the last 18 to 20 years, your little tall, redheaded grandson named Jason has answered that call in Chile and starting church after church because there's a call that said, come over and help us. I preached the other day to the Rock of Ages family, and we thank God for the Macedonia family and all the good godly mission boards that are helping missionaries spread the gospel. There's a call from abroad. Russia's calling tonight. Japan is calling tonight. Brazil is calling tonight. The Amazon is calling tonight. Mexico, Canada, France, England. It's calling tonight. Oh, I wish I could put a picture up of a map of the world and just look at the map of the world, and you can't put your finger on a spot that Jesus didn't die for them and the gospel won't work for them. Thank God you have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light. Send the light. There is a call from abroad. There's a call come ringing over across the street. There's a call come ringing across the city. There's a call come ringing across the county. There's a call come ringing across the state. There's a call come ringing across the nation, the country, the continent, the world. Oh, spread that, I love that line, spread the tidings around wherever man is found. Oh, do you believe it tonight? Where there is a creature created in the image of God, infused with the breath of life, and he is a living soul. There's a balm in Gilead. There's a sympathizing Savior. And listen to me tonight. The church knows, and the gospel knows, and the message of Jesus Christ and the salvation of Jesus Christ knows no boundaries and knows no borders. There are no race boundaries, no religious boundaries, no culture boundaries. If he died for one, he died for all. Let's take the world the changing message, the life-changing message of the gospel. Brother, Janet's husband, Steve. I love you, brother. I just had a freeze there. I'm going to blame it on COVID. A 2x4 costs $8, COVID. A sheet of plywood, $85, COVID. I just had an over 50 moment, COVID. Brother Steve, if you remember about 4 years ago, for one of our Christmas offerings, we raised enough money to build the Harvest Baptist Tabernacle in the country of India. Run down here, Brother Steve, real quick. Run down here, Brother Steve, real quick. I can never pronounce the city and the state. I barely can speak English, much less Indian, but it's in the country. What city and what, they call it a state or a province or whatever over there. I tell them where the Harvest, and just in case you want to drive over there one afternoon. Where is it at?
It's in Madhuru in Telangana state.
Yeah, over there. You'll find the Harvest Baptist Tabernacle. A church God let us build it. He come to me at the Greer camp meeting and said, hey, we got a call that there's a little house right beside of it that we need for the school teachers and the staff to stay in. And because things are growing so much, and said the lady's husband died. Now interrupt me anytime I'm not telling this right, because I'm like the little black lady. I don't lie on purpose. And she's a Christian. And her husband has died. She's going to go move in with family that live in another Mudu state.
Right. Yes.
Another place I can't pronounce. And what she's going to do, she's willing to sell the Harvest Baptist Tabernacle of India, that house, for half price. It values at 30 plus thousand. And she's going to let the Harvest Baptist Tabernacle of India buy it and use it as dormitories and places for the teachers to stay for $15,000. The problem is Harvest Baptist Tabernacle in India don't have $15,000. But I know of another Harvest Baptist Tabernacle in Jonesboro, Georgia, that God is blessed exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we got to 15,000 and out of your motion and a second and a hallelujah and a will glory by the house. It's done. A disclaimer, if you are a young pastor and you're watching this program and you have just been at your church less than a year, don't try what I just did. Buford, they bring me to Bible colleges to show the young preachers what not to do. Oh, I'm glad our church answered that call. You say, well, we won't never see it. We won't never be able to go to it when they lift the restrictions, fly on over there. Well, Brother Joe, that's not going to help us here. Shut your mouth. Brother, we're going to start clipping coupons, investing, son, Wall Street, the NASDAQ, whatever that is, portfolio, stock market. Son, it may go up, it may go down, it may have cold times and bad times, but when you throw yourself and throw your means and throw your life at the foot of bloody Calvary and wave the white flag of surrender and answer the call from above and the call from within and the call from abroad, look out, help's on the way, God is on the way, we'll reap dividends beyond our expectations. Let me say this. I don't think I will embarrass Brother Barrios with this. But for the last 20 years in our country, the Spanish world has come to us. They're here. Now, we can do two things. We can ignore it, let them die without Christ, or we can reach them with the gospel. Hallelujah. And to me, now this is me, this is Arthurology. But one thing about it, it's Arthurized. Wow, Wade, you got that first time around, man. That's awesome. To me, the height of hypocrisy. Would be for our church to send $100,000 to reach the Spanish world and let the Spanish world die and go to hell under our nose. Neither one's going to happen, because God is going to give us the ability to reach the abroad and reach the around. Well, glory. There's a call tonight. Listen to it. It's from above. The Savior's calling. It's from within. The Spirit's calling. It's from abroad. It's from without. It's from around. The sinner, the saints, the servants, the people. We've got a call to duty. Let's answer it and touch the world for the glory of God. Remember, if you want to touch the past, touch a rock. You won't touch the present, touch a flower. If you want to touch the future, touch a life. Well, I'm wore out. I was wore out from this morning, and you done wore me out again. What are you going to do when I get an old man? We'll wear out another one. Well, I've had a time preaching to you today. All right? We looked at that call from above. We looked at that call from within. We looked at that call from abroad. But I read you one more. Remember? Luke 16. Where the rich man is in the lake of fire. In torment. Thirsty. Abandoned. Separated forever from God. Hell's real tonight. It's hot, it's on fire, and it's forever. And he cries out from the madhouse of the wicked, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Send that old beggar. I walk by him every day and ignored him. I walked by every day, and the most he got from me was my servants would give him a few crumbs, and my old dog would go lick his old runny sores. That's all I ever did for him. But, oh God, I need him now. And I want you to send him to my father's house. Why? Why, rich man? I got five brothers, and I don't want them to meet me in this place. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Can I say it tonight? Hell, the inhabitants thereof, don't want company. I believe tonight if you could see the Beulah land, the glory world, the heaven, hallelujah, square, my daddy and my grandparents and your dad and your grandmama and your precious children, Lord have mercy, the saints of God that outstripped us in the race, I believe we'd hear something like this. Come on, children. Come on, children. The throne is real. Heaven's real. The gates are real. The river of life is real. The crystal sea is real. Come go with me. I want us to be together in heaven. I'm bound for the promised land. Who will come? I believe heaven tonight is calling you and us to come on and lay down at the feet of Jesus. But I promise you tonight, I guarantee you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, there's nobody who missed heaven and went to hell calling on us to meet them there. Hell wants no company. You know what the inhabitants of hell wants? For you and me to go to their family they left behind and warn them lest they come to that awful place. So in closing tonight, there is the call from above. There's the call from within. There's the call from abroad. But listen now. There's a call from beneath. There's a call from beneath. Yes, there's a call coming from God's throne. Yes, there's a call from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's a call for souls and lives across the sea and across the street in need of God and in need of Savior. But there's another voice calling you and I. You say, preacher, where is it? It's from the awful place called hell. Where they're screaming and they're crying and they're begging God for water and mercy. There's two things you won't find in hell. Water and mercy. I can hear them. Tonight I can hear the cry come from the pit. Go. Go. Shine your light. Sing your song. Tell your story. There's a call from hell that wants you and us tonight to be servants of the Lord. Closing tonight, just think about this. I'm going to talk about my own failure here for just a moment. When we had our soul winning seminar the other day, I think Brother Wood touched on something that helped all of us. And I'm going to tell you something. It is so easy to be intimidated when it comes to talking to people about the Lord. How many of you like me, you got the gift of gab? That means you can run your mouth. Okay, how many feels like there's somebody you know has a double dose of gift of it? I knew we would get hands lifted. How many of you find it easy to talk about the weather? How many of you find it easy to talk about politics? Oh, Lord, that's nauseating tonight. How many of you find it easy to talk about the hobbies that you like? man, Brother Tom and Brother Park, Miss Parks over here, and some of you other carnal people can just talk about golf. Golf. Buford can talk about shoes. I love you, Buford, but you got a lot of shoes, man. And they ain't Brenda's either. They're yours. I like to talk about hunting and fishing. Man, I can talk to you about ballistics, thermal energy, foot pounds of pressure. I can tell you the caliber, the grain of the bullet, how fast it goes, how hard it hits, how hard it hits on this end, how hard it hits on that end. I can talk to you about the core lock, the power point, the ballistic tip, the A-frame, the nozzle partition, the SST, the A-max, the V-max, the silver tip, Barney's bullet. We'll talk. Why is it so hard to just talk about the Lord? And especially the people that are in high positions. Now, because we're on the World Wide Web, I'll have to curtail this a moment, but that was a television show. That was a television show that had been filmed in our area for years and years. And if I named it, most of you have seen it more than once, probably the reruns. Probably you have the DVDs. No, Joseph, it's not Barney. That was not filmed in Georgia. Joseph Moats' heroes, Goober and Barney Fife. That was a very famous show. And one day, my wife and I had gone to run an errand. And I said, baby, I want to stop in this little convenience store and get us a Coke. And while I was in there getting us a Coke, I looked up, Daniel, and standing beside of me was one of the stars of that show. He had on his uniform. He had, well, his costume. He had on the makeup. Man, it was thick. And he just took a break. And he was buying some beer. And I even had a track in my pocket. And I reached. And to my shame, my fear gave in. And I just said, hey man, how you doing?
Hey.
See you later. Brother Richard, I didn't witness to that man. I didn't speak to that man about God. I didn't even slip him a track. As I walked and got in the car, the birds were not singing. You know what I mean by that? You know when you have grieved the Holy Spirit. And man, for days and days, it just made me sick because I knew more than likely I would never see that person again. And considering the lifestyle some of those people live and where they're from, it's possible, very possible, that I could have been the only born again Christian, much less Baptist preacher, he had ever seen or talked to or met. I'm not saying that's true, but it's possible. It could be. And it wasn't but about a month after that. One day I was sitting in traffic. I know you can't believe that, but I was sitting in traffic. And I was listening to WSB. And they said, breaking news. We have some breaking news. You heard it first on WSB. Actor so-and-so committed suicide early this morning. Died of a drug overdose. I almost had to pull over and throw up. Because all I could see was that man climbing the smutty walls of hell. And God put me in that man's path. Put that man in my path. Do you realize how unusual it would be for somebody of that status to bump into an old-fashioned leather lung, Bible-believing child of God, preacher of the gospel? I got so tore up I had to pull off of an exit. And I pulled into the parking lot of a filling station and I laid my head on my steering wheel. And I made God a vow. I said, God, if you'll help me, God, if you will help me, the next time you put a burden on my heart like that, help me to swallow my fear and my intimidation and at least be a light and be a witness. That's been about 20-some years ago, and Daniel, even then in my study life and my prayer life and in my meditation life, I hear somebody scream. I hear somebody say, pull me out of the fire. I hear somebody say, you had a chance to witness to me. You let me die without a witness. I'm burning in hell because of you. And I've lived with that. Tell you what, it's so done, it so stirred me that not long ago I run into somebody else. Real famous. If I mentioned his name, half of you women would just faint right there in the pew. And because we're on the World Wide Web, I can't even tell you who that was. Come to me private, I'll tell you. I want to watch you faint. He's the man. Limousine riding, Rolex wearing, he the man. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, you're so and so. I am. I said, I'm Brother Joe Arthur. He had never heard of me. I said, it's at the airport. I said, I'm a pastor of an old-fashioned Baptist church down the road here. I'm a Christian. And I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And God will save you. Oh, he didn't get saved. I don't know what he's done since then, but I got it off my chest. I got it off of my heart. And I went through the airport. There is a call from beneath. The Lord above is calling. The Holy Ghost from within is calling. The sinner from without is calling. And abroad is calling. And the lost in hell is calling you and I to be a witness for Christ. Somebody in this room tonight, in the name of the Father, Son, sweet Holy Spirit, answer the call. You've heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light.